Welcome to NVIDIA's AI podcast. We all have this image of the impartial machine. It's hardware and software running methodically through a given task without tiring and without any semblance of an opinion or bias. But the example of the objective computer is not necessarily correct, says Eileen Kaliskin, our guest on this segment of the podcast. In an age of learning machines, we are often teaching our machines to be sexist, racist, ageist. In other words, to manifest the same biases we humans can harbor. Kaliskin is a postdoc in computer science at Princeton and the co-author of a recent paper in Science on the topic of human biases in machines. Eileen, welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for the introduction. And it was a very nice introduction saying that we thought machines would be unbiased or objective. But with this paper, we see that as machines are trained on human data, they also learn human culture and facts about the world. And bias is part of this. And essentially, machines end up being biased. And we are able to show this in our paper that came out last week.
How did you even get, again, I think we have this sense, and it comes from our culture, from our science fiction, from our, you know, films, that machines are these cold, uncaring kind of, you know, machines, right? How did you get this sense or a clue that bias was even, and human bias was even a possibility?
Oh, artificial intelligence has advanced so much in the last couple of decades, and computing power became easily available. So we are able to train even higher quality models or artificial intelligence now. And when we look at these models that are trained by human data, we see that it's able to understand many things about the world. For example, the particular model I'm looking at is a semantic space, a representation of language with words in numeric format. And such a model is able to understand the capitals of countries or grammatical relations between words and so on. And once we were looking at this, we realized that it has a very accurate representation of the world in it. If it's so accurate, it might be containing things about humans. And then I started wondering if bias is one of these, because many AI or machine learning researchers have been trying to understand if machines are discriminating or if they are biased, unbiased. And then I started digging into this and tried to understand more in depth what's going on with this model of language. And then we were able to come up with a method that actually detects and quantifies bias.
So just to be clear, you're saying that, you know, we're teaching an AI system to understand a language. But in doing so, the language that we use to sort of teach that system has its own biases embedded in it. And then therefore, you know, we're teaching just the same bad habits or the bad, you know, kind of point of view that, we humans can have.
Yeah, it seems like that is what has been happening, and we weren't able to exactly prove this in the past. So it has been more of an idea that it might be possible. But now we are able to actually quantify that language reflects biases and also facts about the world. So when we train an AI, a machine learning model based on human language, then essentially it imbibes all of these biases and facts.
So give us an example, like how does it show up in kind of a real world situation, these biases? And then did you analyze it to prove that it was actually true and it wasn't just somehow a bad coincidence?
I was inspired by the implicit association test. This was a groundbreaking test introduced by social psychologists in 1998, Greenwald and his colleagues. And this test has been taken by millions of people all around the world. And the essential part, the fundamental thing that's happening in this test is asking people to categorize words together. Mm-hmm. And the longer it takes to associate two words together as if they belong to the same group, that means that it's less associated. And the faster a human is able to respond to an association, that means that in the brain, they are implicitly associating concepts together. For example, man with career or woman with family. or certain races with certain attitudes and so on. And they were using words to do that. So we had four sets of words, two sets to represent two different societal groups and two sets of words to represent the stereotype terms. And based on this, I looked at the implicit association test in the past and in scientific articles and took these sets of words and then used them in the language model that I had so that I can calculate the similarity of different sets of words. And we are able to calculate the similarity because each word is represented as a 300-dimensional numeric vector in the language model. And based on this, we can calculate the mathematical similarity of these words to see how associated they are in the language model. And to our surprise, we saw that every implicit association test that we tried to replicate in the model, we got a significant result and we were able to quantify the bias and detect the bias.
So the language model, in other words, is that is the AI system or that understands English or, you know, pick your favorite language. And then you take that model and give it the test is essentially what happened, correct?
Yes, instead of applying the test to a human subject, it's applied to the language model, which can be considered as an aggregate product of humans.
And so it demonstrated the same kinds of biases, like, you know, racism, sexism, you know, gender bias, etc., that we humans sometimes have.
Oh, yes. And we started with the first bias, which is considered a universally accepted stereotype for flowers and insects or instruments and weapons. And the attitude toward flowers or instruments is positive. People find them pleasant, whereas people seem to find weapons or insects unpleasant. So that was the first test we replicated to see if we have the baseline for this universally accepted bias. And after that, as you mentioned, we looked at racial bias, gender bias, and then attitude towards old people versus young people, or bias for mental disease versus physical disease, and so on. Again, we were able to replicate the biases that were quantified by humans in previous studies.
It's funny. I mean, flowers versus insects. But like, again, going back to the way we started this, you can't imagine that a machine would look at an insect and kind of have a creepy feeling. But that's what's happening.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems like the machine kind of developed an unpleasant association for insects in this case, even though we consider machines as neutral or objective beings.
Right.
And as a result, whenever a language is a part of a program or an application, and we can think about, for example, web search or autofill, machine translation, or so on, anything that involves text, this association will somehow be reflected in the output of these applications or programs.
Right. So let's get to that, because one of the things is that as we discuss regularly here on this podcast, AI is becoming a tool and a solution and an approach that more and more sectors and industries and problems are using to help them, you know, do what they need to do. What are the consequences and what are the things that potentially could, you know, really go wrong if we don't, if we aren't aware of these biases that creep into some of these text-based forms or opinions or, you know, questions and answers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a very good point. So in this case, we looked at a text-based model, but we can imagine that if artificial intelligence or an application is based on any kind of historic human data, there is a potential that bias might be embedded in that application somehow. And in our case, the first step for dealing with such a problem was to detect and quantify the bias, because once we know that bias is there, then we can decide to take certain actions for whatever application we are working on.
What could the potential consequences be? You know, like I guess they're the same as in the human world. But like, if you go into a, let's say a job interview situation, and you're the person doing the interviewing, and you have a bias, you know, you're going to maybe weight one candidate higher than another, based on gender or, you know, background or ethnicity or something, whatever your bias is. But are those the kinds of, you know, potentially bad consequences that we can have in the same way with this machine based bias?
This is a great example, the one that you just used. Let's say that CVs or resumes are being sent to companies, and if a machine or if a program does the first step for screening to select who might be better qualified for a certain job, we can see how this can become problematic. For example, we know that from our experiments, we have seen that women are associated more with family and men are associated more with career. But we have also seen that women are associated with certain occupations, whereas men are associated with occupations such as programmer, electrician, and women are more associated with nurse or hygienist or librarian. So we can imagine a case where a man is applying for a nurse position, and then maybe the AI would just think that he is not as fit as a woman would be just because he is male. Or this can also apply to situations with different races. Just because someone's name signals a different race, the AI might think the quality of this person is different, but that shouldn't be the case because that has nothing to do with that person's qualifications. But that would be one example where this can actually show up. And in the past, again, like similar studies have been done even with resumes. And they have seen that when the same quality resume was sent out to companies with just one change in the resume, which was the name of the person, one name would signal a white American name and the other one would signal a black American name. And they saw that the white American resumes would have much higher chances for getting an interview.
I see. So it's the same bias that we see often, and that we've, you know, tried to root out, you know, over decades with varying degrees of success. If humans are the cause for this bias in machines, do you sort of have a profile? Like, who can we point the finger at? I mean, is there a profile of, you know, these machines? Is it a white male kind of programmer kind of personality that, you know, is the at fault?
I guess we cannot really blame the machine to really learning the world very well, because it's actually learning what's happening in culture and in the world. So in that case, we are suggesting that an expert human gets involved with the process, such as a human in the loop, so that whenever decisions are being made by machines or whenever there's an output that will affect humans, a human just makes sure that it is not making biased decisions. And for this, a human, since humans are self-aware, they can check for certain cases for bias or for other things that machines might not be able to think about. Because when we look at a machine, we know that it doesn't possess the quality of being aware as humans do. And humans, in a case when they face bias, they are able to make a decision and do the right thing. They can be aware of their behavior, as opposed to machines not having any idea about what the right thing to do would be. So a human can help the machine in that case. And at the same time, artificial intelligence is helping humans a lot because it's making things much faster and more organized. So we are suggesting that the machine and the human cooperates in this case to make sure that there is no bias.
So before a decision gets made on a job or a loan or some kind of action, it could trigger, you know, some human involvement before the final choice is made or something.
Yeah, that would be one way to do that. And the other one could be, for example, when a machine makes a decision, it could at least try to explain why it made that decision, which data was important at that point. And let's say that for the loan decision, the machine says that it looked at certain things, and one of them that had a large factor was, let's say, race or something like that. And in that case, the human would know that race shouldn't be a thing to consider for the loan application, and then that can help the human make the unbiased decision, where at the same time the machine was helping the human with the other decisions that are not related to race.
What you're describing is that these humans are only kind of learning and absorbing what we put out there. Does that bias, is it going to be really hard to root out, do you think, by machines? Or, I mean, do we humans just need to change our culture for this problem to ultimately be solved or go away?
Yeah, this is more like a chicken and egg problem here. Like, is the AI going to perpetuate the bias, or like, how can humans be unbiased? So I guess once humans are perfect, once culture and society is perfect, I'm not sure how one would define perfect. Yeah. And maybe machines will also imitate humans and become perfect, but that is not happening at this point. So to be able to detect bias, yeah.
And do you think the machines can help us do a better job with our own biases? Like, can they point out where we go wrong?
I think the machines, like, in our paper, we see the example that even language is able to reflect bias. So that should maybe make us think about some questions. For example, is the language that we are exposed to and the frequency of certain words making us biased? Just like the frequency and the places we encounter things is maybe causing certain associations for us, even though we don't realize that these things are happening. So I guess we need to always try to be aware to see if bias exists or not. And machines can help us do this, because in this case, we are looking at the example with bias that's reflected by language. But then in order to make sure that humans are not making biased decisions, again, new programs can be trained on historical human data, and then we can search for bias to see if the actions or the behaviors in the past were biased or not.
I think it's also interesting because we live in this age right now of fake news and similarity bias, where, you know, we get all the same stuff. So I wonder if your research and what you guys are looking at can also help us understand that, hey, you're just being fed the same type of information, same kinds of opinions over and over and over. And so, mm-hmm. of course, that's what you're going to consume and believe and, you know, somehow internalize. Can AI help us, I guess, have a broader view of the world in some ways to take out some of the bias?
Yeah, that's a very good example. We can think about, for example, newspapers. And then if we analyze to see if there is a certain bias or if the opinions are heavily in one direction, we will be able to quantify this. And then accordingly, we can try to provide other views of the world or try to unbias it or try to handle the bias in a different way. So machines could certainly help in such cases. And that would be a positive way of actually understanding this bias so that we can bring different views or to debias things.
Yeah, and somehow grade them, like, okay, here on one end of the spectrum is this biased thing, and on the other end of the spectrum is this other biased thing. And if you want a more balanced view, here's something in the middle. I would love that. In fact, I think we could all use something like that. Well, Eileen, thank you so much for your time. This is fascinating. And let me just ask you this. You know, it demonstrates the power of AI to do all kinds of things, but also the power of it to go in directions that we don't anticipate. Are you optimistic that, you know, we can sort of get a grip on this and have a better sense of how to use AI in ways that help us all and help us solve the problems that are in front of us?
I'm optimistic, yes. There are a lot of great researchers, AI researchers, machine learning researchers, ethicists, sociologists, psychologists, working on these problems to make sure that AI is actually helping us and becoming an aid instead of our enemy. And I'm sure that as we are aware of potential problems, we will be able to tackle them and come up with countermeasures and try to find ways to make good use of them. So I'm optimistic. And the more we have research on this and longer term agendas, I think AI will be eventually helping us without causing too many problems. So this is the first step. In order to fight something, we first need to discover it. And now that we are aware of it, we can decide how to act on this information.
Eileen Kaliskan, thank you so much for joining the podcast. The paper in Science it's called Semantics Derived Automatically from Language Corpora Contain Human-like Biases. Eileen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
Postscript here. If you are listening to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, or whatever your favorite podcast player is, do us a favor and leave us a review. Thanks for listening.